Take TPV Radio with you 24/7. Just download Live 365 app from your Apple or Google Play Store. Like us on Facebook at TPV Radio or www.tpvradionetwork.com. Walk with us, family. Let's go! It's the two-time Stellar Award considered, Spin Award nominated. You're listening to The Voice.
To The Voice.
The Psalmist Voice Radio Network. You're listening to the hottest, most off-controversial, off-the-meters Christian radio station in the land. The Psalmist Voice Radio Network. Are you ready to walk, family? Let's go!
What's good, radio family? TPV Radio is just getting hotter, and we have an all-star lineup just for you. Mondays, Conversations with Joe and Jay at 7:30 a.m. Tuesdays, Victory Over the Weights of Life with author Deanne Lebrine at 6 p.m. Wednesdays, Illuminating Word Ministries with Dr. Apostle Forrest L. Walker Sr. at 5 p.m. Thursdays, Real Talk with Pastor Byron Sago at 4:30 p.m. Also, Dorothy Patterson, the reality coach, at 6 p.m. Fridays, the exclusive interview with yours truly, the Psalmist Voice, by appointment only. Saturdays is Saturdays Refet with Sister Lorraine Brown and Roberta Jones at 11 a.m., followed by The Locker Room with Coach D at 4 p.m. Sundays, TPV Reloaded at 2 p.m. with The Familia. Catch all of TPV Radio programming on Facebook Live at TPV Radio. Also, Live 365, tune in, and all of our podcasts, social media platforms. Walk with us in relationship, purpose, and promise. And let's go!
You never heard Christian radio quite like this. Get your fix 24/7 on the Psalmist Voice Radio Network.
Radio Network.
You're listening to Saturday's Buffet with Sister Lorraine Brown and Roberta Jones right now. TPV Radio.
TPV Radio.
Life's thrown many punches, trying hard to knock me out. It's hard, but I'm fighting. Can't let my faith waver now. Change don't always feel good. trust in God. Do it all.
Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon. We find ourselves at the buffet, desiring and hungry for the word and for the presence of God to dwell in our life. The song says, for being right there. Thank you, God, for every promise, because somebody has found out that God's promises are yea and amen, meaning that we don't have to be concerned about whether they're going to come to pass or not. And that's an awesome thing when we can put trust in someone who won't fail us, especially in time of trouble and in time of need. The songwriter says he's right there. He never leaves us alone, and never, I would say, is a long time. Never leave us alone. Now, that's faith in God. When we get to the place where we can really believe that for ourselves, I said we're fast-tracking somewhere. We're well on our way. Good afternoon again, everyone. Welcome to the buffet. Welcome to the subject matter on today. We still want to continue with love, because one thing about it, we can't exhaust love. And another thing about it is, no matter where we go in the scripture, it has to be laced with love. So no matter what we talk about, at the end of the day, we've got to bring love up on the beginning, in the middle, or at the end of it. It's the conclusion of the whole matter. Good afternoon, Pastor Chris. How are you on today?
Good morning.
Yes. Uh-oh.
I'm doing good.
Good, good, good to hear you on today. One thing about subject matters that God gives us, he always allows us to be tested in those areas so that when we speak from the platform, we'll be able to speak about what we know about instead of what we read or heard about. So today we'll look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We will look at what some call the love chapter. We'll begin with the first verse, and we will put out this disclaimer, is when we're looking at love and this subject matter, we're not just looking at it because it sounds good. We're looking at it because it's a game changer. It's a game changer in the Christian walk. It's a game changer in the Christian life. When we really want to begin to move forward in the things of God, we will not leave love on the shelf. We'll take love down, and we will allow it application in our life. Then things will begin to change. Then things will begin to turn around. Then things will begin to open up. Then things will begin to unfold in our lives. Then our life really will have purpose and matter. We begin to entertain the idea and the spirit of love in our life. And looking at 1 Corinthians 13, beginning at the first verse, it says, if I could speak in any language in heaven or on earth, but didn't love others, I would only be making meaningless noise, like a loud gong or a clanging cymbal. Now, that's a powerful scripture all by itself. It says, if I could do it, if I could do it, I would just, and leave love out of the equation, I'm just making some meaningless noise, like clanging a cymbal or hitting a gong loudly. And I don't remember who the songwriter was. I'm sure you probably know, Pastor Chris, that said, talking loud and ain't saying nothing. I think it was a song about talking loud but ain't saying nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we really we can boil down to, is we're going to be talking and it's not filled with love or doesn't have any love applied to it. We're just talking loud, but we're really not saying anything. And God does not want his people being loud and meaningless. He wants to fill us, first of all, he wants to fill us with his love before we bring the message. Because if you speak a message to me and it's laced with love, I can receive that better. That's like medicine that you give. Some medicine is harsh. And we find ourselves trying to find something that we can lace that medication with that makes it more pleasurable so you can get it down. My mama tried that, but she failed at it miserably because she put a tablespoon full of cod liver oil in a half a glass of orange juice. And I think that I would have did better. She just gave me the cod liver oil and let me drink the juice. But she stirred that stuff in there. That was the hardest thing I had ever had to do. I would have rather her beat me than for her to give me that cod liver oil and that orange juice. But that was her way of keeping me healthy. And I grew a hatred for cod liver oil. And when I got older and I had children, of course, something that's a part of your life, you're going to, you know, transfer that over into your children. And I don't know how I did that. As much as I hated it, I gave it to my children. And my daughter, she was my firstborn, and I gave it to her. And she got to the place where she didn't mind it, and she took it herself. She took the tablespoon, poured it in the spoon, and drank it herself. And I look at her, and I was baffled at the fact. And then she would lick her lips. Cod liver oil. I don't know how she did that. But that's what love is like. Love is like a good dose of medicine. And sometimes we might need a little chaser because love can be pretty difficult, Pastor Chris. Especially when you're dealing with some unlovable people and God is continually telling you to love. And you're wondering to yourself, how can I do this? And he's saying, just take the medicine. Don't worry about it. Everything will come, everything will come together. And so we're on this journey together, to our family, our radio family. And the next verse says, if I had the gift of prophecy, and we all running for prophecy, we all love that gift. We love for it to be operating in our life, and those that operate in the prophetic, they love that because it feels powerful. But that's a person who's taking the strength of that gift for themselves. Because at the end of the day, if you are in the lane of prophecy, you need to give God credit because you don't know nothing apart from what he gives you. So we don't have a right to take credit for that. But we allow people to pump us up, and then we get off by accepting the compliment instead of saying to God be the glory. But it says if you have the gift of prophecy, and if I knew all the mysteries of the future and knew everything about everything, but didn't love others, what good would I be? Now, that's heavy as well. You know, because if we know everything about everything, that makes us, in man's eyes, pretty bright, pretty smart. But you can have all of that and don't have no love, you still ain't got nothing. So at the end of the day, the scripture is true. Every good and perfect gift really does come from God. So if you have a gift, whether it's singing, preaching, dancing, whatever that gift is, if it's a good gift, and it does not give God any glory, then you dancing, singing, and preaching for nothing. Because at the end of the day, you just have credit from man, which lets you down and fail you. But as far as what the Lord want to do in our lives, we've got to be open and subject to the Spirit of God. Amen. But love is an awesome thing. So let's look at verse. Pastor Chris, you got anything before I move on to verse? Oh, still on that verse. Wait a minute, I didn't finish it. It says, and if I have the gift of faith so that I could speak to a mountain and make it move without love, I would be no good to anybody. So that's verse 2. So even if I'm able to move mountains in my life, if I'm operating apart from love, although moving mountains is a powerful thing, it's a powerful act of God, but it still doesn't give me anything if there's no love in my heart. Pastor Chris, did you want to speak on that before I move to verse 3?
This particular chapter is very loaded because we we take what sounds good. Like verse 2 is a perfect example. We take what, the gift of prophecy. Oh, wow.
Right.
This is the gift I want. But as we move forward, and I don't want to spoil it, but as we move forward, there's a key word that trumps all of it. And I'm going to leave it like that. So before I get a little too happy, I'm going to pass the mic back to you.
But you know, Pastor Chris, you think about it. If you put out a flyer or a disclaimer and you say, hey, there's a prophet going to be in town, and he's going to call your address. He's going to tell you what your phone number is. He's going to tell you what your bank statement said. You're thinking a lot of us would gather in that place just to see it. Just to see it. The people that don't believe in prophecy will go just to say, I saw it with my own eyes. But if you say, come to hear a message preached about salvation, which is open you up for everything, makes you rich in all of this stuff, we would probably not go unless they said we gonna have chicken dinners afterwards that we giving you. Now that chicken dinner might draw you to that service, but most of us won't come out of our house just to hear a service about salvation. But for a person that has not accepted Christ, that's a calling card that will get us in every door, because a lot of times we seek after the prophetic, and it's really not prophesying as much as it is we're going to see the prophet liar. The person that's saying I hear a name, Gloria, and then the woman on the front row starts responding, so now he in there. So then he starts to put them feelers out there. And every time he hits her, she responds to it. So he kind of sticks right there. And at the end of the day, she thinks he spoke to her. He spoke at her.
Yep.
And God doesn't have to put feelers out, because his whole scripture is a prophetic word. You know, and the prophet, once we get saved, the prophet lives inside of us. And so we don't have to run after a man or a woman who has a title. We can speak the things of God from within. Sometimes we just need to kind of take a stroll around inside of ourselves and figure out what's going on with me. And the prophetic is at my door already. When the Lord is saying, come unto me, that's a prophetic word if I ain't never came.
Sorry.
So we don't need to seek that I need to buy a new house. Because we've had people to send us out there to go buy new houses. And we got out there and we bought that new house according to the word of a man. And we lost that new house according to the word of the man. And then we want to say that the prophetic doesn't work. The prophetic does work. But it's just that when we get caught up in that lane of seeking a man's tone and not the voice of God, then we're off anyway. Let's move on to 3. If I gave everything I have to the poor. And that's another area we falter in. And even sacrifice my body, I could boast about it. But if I didn't have others, I would be of no value whatsoever. So even if I have a lot and I'm willing to give a lot, but I'm only doing it for the showmanship of it, somebody to tell me that a girl, then I did it for nothing.
Mm-hmm.
I did it for absolutely nothing. It does not represent, if I walk around, as the old folks said, po-mouthed. that's an old-time term. I'm walking around po-mouthed, trying to look holy. And I say it again, trying to look holy, trying to say that I've sacrificed all for the gospel. No, I didn't sacrifice it for the gospel. I sacrificed it because I didn't know what the gospel was for my life. And somebody else said it was a good idea, and I followed what they said. And didn't follow the things of God. So I did it for nothing. So what good was it? I want the things of God in my life. I want God to lead, guide, and direct me. And he says my way is love. And so if I'm trying to come another way, then I'm failing already. Out of the gate, I'm failing. If I'm trying to get to the Lord outside of his way, then I'm going the wrong way. I understand Sister Ruby is with us today. Did you, would you unmute us, Pastor Terry?
Sister Ruby, she is unmuted.
Hello, Sister Ruby. That's not Sister Ruby, Pastor Chris. I'm so sorry. 2985 is Sister Ruby. 2985.
Yes,
that is Sister Ruby.
2985. Yeah, she's on. I guess she put it on me.
Sister Ruby, are you
she's
on?
Live.
Are you meeting up? Are you meeting up?
Hello.
Hey,
there you go.
Hello. Hi.
Hey.
I just clocked in. I couldn't get on when you all first started.
Okay. Well, look, we're dealing with 1 Corinthians 13 on today. And, you know, as you know, Sister Roberta is down in Virginia with her daughter's wedding. So nobody's on today. I was looking for you to come on and just share with me. We're talking about love. And a lot of times we don't think there's any love in the world when we've been severely mistreated. But those are the people that God seemed to require to love the most.
Mm-hmm.
So we're on verse 3, Sister Ruby, and I'll read it. And whenever you have anything you want to share about it, you feel free. But I'm sorry, we're on verse 4. Verse 4 said love is patient. And now we're getting into eating steak today, Sister Ruby. I get choked up on this part of 1 Corinthians 13 because now you don't have to guess what love is. God has gone on to revelate to us what love is. He said it's patient. So now we can put a pin right there in our own personal lives. For our listeners, we can put a pin right there and say, am I patient? Am I patient with the people that I claim to love? And so that's where I start to see myself fall off the wagon. That's where I see myself needing some more super glue, Sister Ruby. I see myself asking somebody, would you please give me a glass of water because my throat done got dry. And I can't really speak very much on this subject because now what I see, okay, Sister Ruby, I just heard the Holy Ghost. Now I see a mirror. Love is patient. It becomes a mirror in my life. And you know a mirror tells you what? It tells you what it sees, right? It sends back the reflection of what it sees. So when I look into the mirror of the word and it tells me that love is patient, I have to throw up my hand. But wait a minute. Didn't he go on to say, and kind? Okay, I got my hands in the air, Sister Ruby, so maybe you need to speak on patience and kind because my love is in the hospital.
One thing I will say about patience, when you ask God for patience, you better get ready. You better get ready because you're going to be tested and tried. Because the type of patience that God is talking about, we don't understand it. We don't understand it because the least little thing that somebody does, it gets on your nerves or you don't want to be bothered with it. Even with the babies, when you have babies and those babies, you know, you'll tell them, well, I'll be back in a minute. Mama coming. That baby is expecting you to do what you say. But you don't go back because now you're tired. You've been bothered with this baby all night long. Somebody else needs to take it. It takes patience. It takes love. Love and patience go together. They're not separate. They're not separate. They're
Sister
not
Ruby,
separate.
Do you know what I did the last 3 weeks? Do you have any idea what I did the last 3 weeks, Ruby?
What did you do?
I took 3 of my grandsons. You brought up babies. I took 3 of my grandsons on a road trip. And Sister Ruby, I got one that's 5 years old. And if that boy said good morning, he said, why? Turn over, why? Move over, why? Go down there, why? 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 Oh, I got so sick of hearing why. I don't even think I know how to spell it. I got so irritated by that. And it was like, I had to get to the place and do just what you said. I had to really reel my emotions in and realize that dealing with small children and sometimes grown folks, you have to allow the Holy Spirit of God to help you. That ain't no joke. That ain't no joke. And you
love
you comfort. Find out, Ruby, you find out who you are. You find out just who you are and what you made of. Yeah. When you thought you was clever, you find out your tail is clever. Imitation is what you find out. When the when the rubber meets the road, you find out whether you got any thread or not.
Love, so love is going to test you on every side. It's going to test you on every side. Whether you walk in patience or not, love is always there to conquer anything that's in our way. But because we love the way we want to love and not the way that Christ wants to love through us, we falter a lot of times. And so when you look at 1 Corinthians, this is stripping you of all of you. All of you.
And you tell me.
Love, it strips you of all of you.
Mm.
No boasting, no nothing. I mean, if it's going to be God's way, it's going to be God's way. There's no wrong and right when it comes to love. Love, if you're going to love like God loves, it's going to always be through righteousness. Even in your trials, you'll find yourself calling out on the Lord to help you to say the right thing or do the right thing before you even respond. But because we're not totally submitted, we're not totally submitted in our heart. We say it with our mouth, but it's not in the heart. And it caused us to display all the wrong things instead of the right things.
So we look at 4, Ruby. It says love is patient. That's one thing love is. Love is kind.
Mm-hmm.
That's two.
Mm-hmm.
Love is not jealous. Oh, my God. Or both.
Right.
Or proud. Now, look,
that's
five things. Love is, wait a minute, 1, 2, 3, 4. That's 5 things love is not. And just in those 5 things, we have a whole field of work to do. Pastor Chris, we can't even get off of verse 4, really.
Nope.
We might skip through 1 through 3. If we want, if we run real fast, we can get out of there. But when you get into 4, you get bogged down. It's quicksand in 4. Hello.
Yep.
You get into that. You say, well, I am patient. And I know how to be kind. Keep going. I can't say I'm not jealous. Okay, there you go. We might can holler loud on some of this stuff, but God said, I ain't gonna leave nothing for you to wonder about. I'm gonna explain it all to you.
But you know what that love is explaining, right? You know what that love is explaining?
What
you're explaining Christ himself.
Oh, yeah.
That love is Christ himself in action in you. He's patient. He's kind. He never envies. He never boasts. There's no proudness in him. That particular love is displaying the personality, I would say, of Christ.
So, Ruby, would you say that if we worked on this scripture, we could work and he'd come back to get us, don't you think?
Yes, we can.
We'll still be bending over, as the old folks said, we'll still be bowing over in the field, trying to get this part right here.
That's right. That's right.
We got some work ahead of us.
Unless we allow Christ to do it in us, you're right, because it's the flesh. Always the flesh when Christ is not in it. That's right.
Yeah.
But if I learn to allow Christ to do it.
So would you say, you and Pastor Chris, would y'all say that if we took care of the thing that was placed in our hands, my brother and my sister, do we really have time to be nosing over there across the field? How do we get a break? You know how when you get them jobs, you say, well, it's time for me to go on break. Well, in this life called Christianity, we don't really have a break, because at every moment of our life, we got something we need to be doing.
That's right. Yes, we do.
That's why idle mind becomes the playground of the devil.
And
idle mind. That's a mind that ain't taking care of what God gave it, but it won't look across there and say, why Ruby and Peter got a car? I don't have no car. Is that my business? I want to get to the place where I'm spiritually minding my own business. That's me. That's my hand up in there. I raise my hand. That's what I want, Lord. I want to spiritually mind my own business.
Lord, have mercy.
Pastor Chris, what is wrong with you? I hear the band. What's going on?
Yeah.
Ruby, you this. Pastor Chris, he gets out of hand.
I'm sure Pastor Ruby already knows, you know, but thank you so much for being on the buffet, Pastor Ruby.
Evangelist.
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
See, this thing called love is is our kryptonite. Like, it's our weakness.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Mm-hmm.
Because it requires us to be incredibly patient. It also requires us to be gentle and consistently kind to all. Not sometimes, not when I feel like it, not when I have a good day, not when the sun is shining, all. And it also, here's another word, jealousy. Now, see, this has been, let me put this disclaimer out. I'm not saying all churches or all individuals in the kingdom of God. I'm saying some. What I am saying, that this cancer of health and wealth and blessing and overflow and all this stuff we've been preaching has caused this jealousy virus to spread amongst the believers. You don't believe me? Just look around. When somebody is walking in the church, 9 times out of 10, everybody turn their head in the entrance to see what they wearing, what bags he got, what shoes he wearing. And even the, if you go to a big church and they got the little guys with the earpieces in them, even they are looking to see what you pulled up in, what ride you got, because it looks like we going to get a good tithing Sunday, because we got a lot of Lexuses and Land Rovers rolling up. I'm saying this because this has been one of the main reasons why we can't get along as believers. We can, I get mad at Sister Lorraine because she could pull out the Benjamins and I'm pulling out Lynn out of my pocket. So I'm mad. And we don't bless the person that say, you know what, look, I got it. Stop. I got it. And we don't, we even have a problem with taking blessings. Got the t-shirt. We got a problem with that because of, oh, what she want out of it or what he want out of it. It's got nothing to do with it. If someone is giving you a loving gesture, you know, I'm going to put it out there. Sister Lorraine Brown, right, she came over here to clean, and we had a good time. See, we had a problem. Because, you know, I get paid once a month and stuff like that. So long story short, I didn't have the money to go, right? Sister Lorraine said, you know what? I didn't ask you. This is in her voice. I ain't asked you if you had money. You need to bring your time parts and come. See, that's in Lorraine's voice. This is after the buffet. This is in her regular voice. See, but my point is this. She offered a gesture of love without a return. See, we're not used to that, and that's why we fight each other. When someone is giving you a loving gesture, we automatically take offense. And it says here in the word, love is not easily irritated or quick to take offense. So why are we getting offended? Because we don't really love. We're conditional lovers. Uh-oh, I'm in trouble with that one. We're conditional lovers with our spouses. We're conditional lovers with our churches. Pastor stepped on my corn, so now I don't like him no more. I'm not coming to church for 2 weeks because he stepped on my corns. Conditional love. See, love will tell you the truth.
Yeah.
And also love you to the truth. See, it's a difference. See, we like to reprimand folks, cut people up, throw them in the trash, and expect them to recover from that. It's okay to cut them like a fine surgeon and still sewing them up at the same time you're speaking to them. If you truly love someone, you will tell the truth, not fake the funk. If Sister Lorraine got a problem with me, and I know she gonna tell me, but I'm just saying,
right.
If she got a problem with me, out of the respect and love she has for me, she gonna tell it like it is. And see,
right.
We got so soft in the kingdom, we so wet back now, y'all, that when somebody comes to us in love, we ready to hide under a rock, or we ready to run, or I ain't answering Sister Lorraine's phone call because she hurt my feelings. Oh, come on. See, people are not always out to cut you. There are some people that are going to love you to the truth. What does that mean? Oh, that sounds like another cliche. No, it's not. When you truly have a love for God's people, you will do what it takes to allow them to have the same love that you have. It's a lifelong journey, but halfway through it, half the stuff that affected you from loving other people, you already be on level 12. See, because a lot of us stop at level 4, and we don't want to grow. We want to brag. Oh, Sister Lorraine, guess what? I'm getting ordained, girl. Oh, wow. See, and it says here again, love does not brag. But we do that all the time in some of our congregations. We brag.
Mm-hmm.
And for what? As we get powerful in the kingdom of God, it takes a group effort. The stronger we are as a body, the stronger we can be of delivering and set freeing these people, but we too selfish, so that's why it's not going to happen until you look in the mirror, like Sister Lorraine just said, when you start looking in the mirror and you realize you got a heart issue, sometimes it's okay to be honest with yourself and link up with some folks that's going to give you the right tools. And the right
thing,
girl, you know what? You're a little too aggressive. Or man, you just too cutthroat. Sometimes you got to, you know, love them in the pain and give them the guidance through the pain. See, this is the stuff we don't talk to each other about. And we get so caught up in our own holiness. Uh-oh, that's another word. We get so caught up with it that we start hating on people. We don't love them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Love is joyful. But we're supposed to celebrate. We're supposed to be happy.
Pastor Chris, we have to take a step back. We got to take a step back. What we started off, Ruby and I started, we were in the same ministry. And the ministry that we were in together, it was a soul-winning ministry. It was one that was geared towards going into the highways and the byways and compelling men and women, boys and girls, that the wages of sin was death, but the gift of God was eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That was important to that ministry. And we went out as a team effort seeking the lost. And when the pandemic came along, because we're talking about the love walk during this pandemic, when the pandemic came along, I received the pandemic as God's way of saying, hey, church, I need your attention. Attention, everyone. And you know how when you say attention, everyone, in a crowded room, you always have the rude people who won't adhere to your voice. But God is saying to those that have ears that are willing to hear, excuse me, everyone, I need your attention right here. And I believe that when this pandemic came about. Well, when some people said, okay, I'm opening up the building back, I said, Lord, I believe the doors got shut because you wanted to give the body of Christ a message. And until I get that message, I can't go nowhere because that means that I've been shut down for a year for nothing. If I see no message from this whole thing of pandemic, being sick myself, and if I go back now just to jump and run around and put on a little cute dress and say amen to a whole lot of nothing, then I didn't learn anything. So on yesterday, the Holy Ghost began to speak and minister to me. He said that the church has lost its fire, saints. Uh-oh. Has lost its fire. He said to me, he said, there was a time where the fire was burning in the church. Well, when an unsaved person would come in, they would catch on fire or go home. But they'd have to come in and be affected by the warmth of the fire, and the stuff that was on them would have to burn off because they couldn't come in and next to your Holy Ghost filled self and go home the same way. He said what has happened is the message and the focus is off from the top to the bottom. It has not hit the top man. It has not hit the top woman. The top people are no longer crying and seeking souls. The top person is no longer being affected by the sin that's running rampant in our world. Because they're too busy trying to have a good message that makes the people run, jump, shout, and give offerings. But when they go home after running, jumping, shouting, and giving offerings, there's no change in their lives. And God is saying the fire has to return back. People of God who care in the gospel. Because when you open your mouth, we ought to be just like that dragon. We ought to be spitting flames out.
That's right.
It's causing what is attached to God's people. The shackles on God's people are supposed to be burned away by the fire that's coming out of our mouth. He said, another thing, my church has lost its power. There's no power in my house. Because the word of God is being non-void because the person that's preaching the word don't even believe the word.
Oh,
so
no.
You're carrying a gospel that you don't believe yourself. And you're trying to give it to the people. And the people are looking at you like, what am I supposed to do with this? And I don't see any change in you. I don't see any power in you, Pastor. So what am I supposed to do with this word that you don't believe but you preach to me? Sister Ruby, God wants to put the fire back in us. He wants, when we come out of our house, for us to quit talking about jibber-jabbering about nothing and begin to carry the glorious message of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world who's killing their mama, sister, brother, babies, daddies, and anybody else they can kill. He said, we are the ones that are supposed to be armed and dangerous in the body of Christ. And the word that we have is supposed to be shot out like oozes into this sin-sick world, and change is supposed to be happening. When is the last time we've seen souls come to the body of Christ? You know what we see coming into the body? We see your member coming to my church, and my member going to his church, and his member going to her church. All we're seeing is a transference of bodies.
Yep.
But the lost is standing out there saying, will somebody please come get me? Will somebody please believe the message that they preaching so it'll hit my heart and change me? Will somebody please come tell me about a Jesus they believe in themselves? God said, I need my people to start trusting me and obeying me. He said, they talk about me, but they don't trust me. And they don't obey me. God said, shut up, we speak. God said, give Ruby a glass of water, I'll give you some Kool-Aid. I gave you something wet. I gave you something to drink, but he gave me water. We won't obey God. We don't trust God, Ruby. And everybody knows it but us.
One thing about that fire. One thing about that fire. In Revelations, I think God told us he didn't want us to be lukewarm. If you're lukewarm, he said he'd spew you out of his mouth. He wants us to be on fire. And when the fire of God is there, then there's no way that anger or jealousy or strife, all that stuff, the fire burns that out. It doesn't even allow us to raise his head. Whenever you are on fire, it's hard for wrath and anger and bitterness and strife and all that stuff to come through. Because the minute you open your mouth and the word of God comes forth as fire, it comes to destroy.
Yep,
right.
Fire burns things up, cleans things out.
Purifies.
So when we totally let go of the carnal, the reason we see all this, because we're carnal-minded.
Yes,
Paul gave us the negatives of love in verse 4. He gave the positive, of love in verse 4. Verse 5, he'll show you the negative part. We want to walk with the negative so much that we don't know how to allow God to bring in the positive because we like that. That's a comfort zone. That's where you've been all your life. As
long
as I find something to complain about, Mm-hmm. As long as I'm not agreeing with you, I don't want to come with the same mind.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to be on the same thought. I want my own thing. I want to do it my way.
I'm gonna
you want to do it your way, the love of God, the love of Christ cannot work in your life because you're rejecting the love of himself.
There you go.
And when you reject the true lover, you know, we say we fall in love with people and we love our husbands or we love our boyfriends. Honey, that's nothing compared to the love of God.
We haven't even
And when the love of God can abide in you, when it can abide in you and you abide in him, you can stay on fire. And when you speak, it will make a difference.
It sure will.
Paul wanted them to see when you walk in love, you make a difference. You change the atmosphere.
That's right.
Well,
Ruby, let's go to verse 5. It says love is not rude. Love does not demand its own way. Love is not irritable. And love keeps no record of when it has been wrong. Again, that locates our love, and our love that puts my love in the mental institution right there. Where it says
that
you're not supposed
to keep humility. That brings you to your humbleness. Are you going to humble yourself down and let love conquer? Or are you going to stay in your way and walk in all those other things that are not like God? That's a test on your humility. Can you let self die right now? Verse 5 is attacking you, your heart. Where is your heart? Is it toward God or is it just for yourself? Are you self-seeking? You know, it's all about me, all about me, all about me.
Well, I'm because
if it's all about you, it's going to be rude. You're going to be easily angered.
I'm going to need to stop the mouth. I'm already at the hospital, and now I'm in the mental institution. I'm telling you, this whole scripture dealing with the root cause of why we are, and that's another thing the Lord said. This is the reason why we are where we are in the body of Christ. This is why we are still crying about spilled milk. This is why we haven't how to just clean the milk up, baby. It's some more left in the jug. It was a whole gallon of milk. But instead of us concentrating on what's left in the jug, I just dropped a half a glass of milk. What are you crying about, Joker? You still got milk. Drink the milk. You still got a chance. All I'm worried about is what I didn't do right. But you still got the Holy Ghost living on the inside of you, still wanting to help you get back up out of that muck and mire and get back on the right path. But if you keep on talking about what you have done, you'll never do anything.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's where we're trapped at. We're trapped because we won't allow the spirit of the word to locate us. And God's not locating us today and telling us about this love just to say, nah, 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 boo-boo, I got you. No, he's doing it so that we can say, Lord, my love is not what it should be, and I'm throwing up both hands to surrender to thee and allow him to work. We cannot do it ourselves.
Exactly.
Because my love needs to get paid.
Yes.
Simple. My flesh love needs to get paid. I need to be gratified with mine. And God is saying, that's not my love. My love is freely given and freely received. I'm not going to make you receive this. I'm going to offer it to you. Let's go to verse 6. Let's get out of this mental institution. Let's get our love on life support. It said it is never glad about injustice. When you like God wants you to love, and you see a person getting back what they gave out, you're not saying, "Ooh, yeah, baby." No. You feel sad for them, even when they're doing the act, because you already know you're going to reap what you sow, buddy. But it rejoices when you win out.
Yes.
When the last time we were able to rejoice with our brothers and sisters because they won, Satan brings jealousy right there. Who they think they do. They got a new car. Where they getting all this money from? They selling dope? No. They got to sell dope to get a new car. But we don't rejoice when other people are winning in the body of Christ. Because, Ruby, if you win and you're in the body of Christ and I'm in the body of Christ, I just won. I may not be driving.
For you.
I'm happy.
I'm happy that you won.
I'm happy that you won.
Yeah.
But you got
to. We're happy for to see the other person excel. You should be happy to see the other person do better.
Ooh, Lord.
You're happy because you see Christ at work in that person as well as he's at work in you. You don't have time
you
for jealousy.
See work in you.
You see the grace of God when you're walking in love. You see the grace of God, the mercy of God. You see the power of God moving in somebody else's life. You rejoice because that person wasn't always there. Just like you weren't always there.
Right. Right. And
so
it's
we
a
don't
struggle.
Have to,
and
we don't have to have evil in our heart and jealousy. We don't have to have evil and jealousy in our heart or want to see harm come to somebody else or he can't outdo me. I got this. No. Mm. You're so happy for that person that you see them excelling in the things of Christ. And then that lets you know if that person is receiving it, then your job was well done by being with that person, living love so they can see love. Mm. And to see love in action, it will make your heart rejoice.
All that's a work in progress, Ruby. It's not something that we wake up in on Sunday morning and it automatically come with the biscuits. That doesn't
it's
happen like that.
It's by faith each day. It's by faith
and
each day.
And there's no faith, sister.
That I
there's
choose.
No faith. There's no revelation. And that's what God is trying to get us to. He's trying to revelate how love really operates. And nobody wants to hear about revelation because nobody wants to put in the work. There's a struggle
exactly.
in this thing.
Right. Right. Right.
You ain't gonna get it. You ain't gonna get it being no wimp, baby. When he calls
it's
you out on the
you
carpet
to
love, you gotta have some muscles, boo. You gotta have some muscles and a made up mind and determination to follow after the things of God. And when you decide to follow Jesus, the enemy is going to blow the wind of adversity towards you. The most hateful people in the world are going to come at you. At one time early on in this corona, I got to thinking that there was a target on my back. I would leave home and look in the mirror to see if there was a target on me. Because every time I left home and went to the store, people were combating me, people that I didn't know. They were combating me at the store. And it was the same battle. And I kept looking around saying, what is wrong with these folks? I don't know you. I ain't doing nothing to you. One lady wanted to get into it with me about a position in the grocery line. So it's just, I'm telling you, when you decide to go the way of God, you better decide to battle.
That's where you put on your whole armor. That's why the whole armor of God is necessary.
Yes, ma'am.
That's why the whole armor is necessary.
Yes, ma'am. That's why it is also necessary for us to know what is it, Lord, you would have me to do. And I can't get that information from you because you only know what God is telling you. I have to go to God for myself and say, Lord, what would you have me to do? Lorraine, what do you want me to do? And when he tells me to love, now I got to take that information, go back to him and say, okay, God, how do I do this? Because my mama didn't teach me love. My daddy didn't teach me love. The world does not teach us love. Only God can train us in this boot camp. Pastor Chris, I hear you grunting. I hear you grunting, Pastor Chris, like your stomach is hurting. I hear you in the realm of the spirit. You are released, my brother.
My God. See, I'm trying to be good, but you know that's not going to happen. See, the problem is, this scripture, this chapter has been one of those forgotten things in the churches. Because, and it's funny, and I hate to put race in it, but our culture is the worst when it comes to this word called love. Let me clarify myself. See, we always hating on each other. There's always haterade. We always saying something, got something to say, always got an attitude, always fighting and bickering with ourselves. See, that's one. See, the devil knows what he's doing. He's strategic. And if we didn't, if we had taken this chapter centuries ago, I guarantee you we would be loving each other a whole lot more than we are right now. And it's the church's fault. Yes, it's our churches. We are not preaching this. We're preaching two-minute microwave faith stuff. Put it in the oven for 2 minutes and wait after the beep and pull it out.
Yep.
No. Love is like baking a cake. You got to put the right ingredients in order for the cake to come out right. Love is one of those things that you got to be selfless, even if it hurts. And that's the biggest problem we have. We rather hold on to the pain. Uh-oh. Let me get in trouble. But I got to be honest. We rather hold on to the pain and use the pain to destroy instead of using the pain to transfer it into something that I am not familiar with. What is that?
That's right.
Learning how to love the way Christ loved. Now, I hear what you're saying, Pastor Chris. That sounds great, but you ain't really telling me nothing. Okay, I'm glad you even said that. So here we go. See, when we understand what love is, see, love is that safe place, right? Even when somebody comes to us, and they throwing all types of daggers at you, even when it comes to the matters of the heart. We want to go back to the old man. But let me tell you something. When you allow the real love of God to burn the nonsense that you picked up for centuries and have him replace what is needed to love past the pain, baby, let me tell you something. It might hurt the flesh. Your flesh might be feeling some kind of way, but your spirit on the inside will automatically send this burn release signal. What does that mean? It's burning all the offense that your flesh is rising up with, all the anger your flesh is rising up with, and you end up calming down in 2.5 seconds. I've been there. I just recently went through it. And I'm telling you, I know who Chris was. But when I allowed God to love me and I allowed to love myself, see, that's the key. We got to love ourselves, lady. We don't love ourselves. That's another problem. So how is a God that is perfect in love, and if we can't look in the mirror and love our own self, that's a problem. But yet, we're turned on by what somebody else says. Oh, Sister Ruby said, I look handsome today. Oh, Sister Lorraine said, I look nice in that suit. We get puffed up. Instead of knowing who we are, which we don't, and that's why we have these problems too, even through this pandemic, it showed so clearly how the church is bleeding from the inside out. Because this is the key. In order for us to be effective in this world, we got to love. And that's the problem. That's why nobody wants to come back to the building. That's why nobody wants to hear what you got to say. Because the church, as we know it, we're in critical condition with this word called love. We only love you if you pulling up in some nice stuff, but we ain't going to love you through your stuff. And that's a problem. Let me be quiet before we get kicked off the air. Back to you, ladies. I'm a stop right there.
I mean, let me say this. Let me throw this in the game. A lot of times we want to work for the Lord. We want to work for him. But God is saying, I'm looking for some people that want to live for me. Because if I can work for him and not live for him, but I can't live for him and don't work. So that faith without works is dead. So that's what God wants his church to do after this pandemic has gotten us right with him. This pandemic has got back on seeking the Lord. A lot of us have turned back to that. Some people have gone on to establish their own ways. We can't worry about them. But when we turn back to God and say, okay, Lord, what am I supposed to be doing? We're saying to him, okay, Lord, I want to live my life for you. And he will show us the work that we're supposed to be doing. Before this
That's
pandemic,
right.
we were working. We were working around the church. We were working in the church, but we wasn't working on our own. We wasn't allowing the work to work in us. That's why our message kept falling on the ground. Because we were talking a good game, but we wasn't about the game. We wasn't going hard in the paint. We were just talking about it. We knew what to say. So God is saying, love is the leading man in this show. Let love lead to live for me. And that same love will allow you to work for me. Now, I said something right there. Love
does not allow you to choose who you're going to give God's love to. A lot of times we choose. You see a drunk or you see a person on drugs. I'm not being bothered with that. That is not for me. Send somebody else. But then that person that's just like you, doing fairly well, these are the people you want to hang out with.
Yeah.
But God's love reached beyond the building.
Yes, it did.
It always reached beyond a literal building. It reaches beyond my minor thoughts or my little thoughts that I think is right. And it goes beyond and it seek out the need. And when it see the need, it makes a way to provide for that need.
That's
some drug abuse is really strong and heavy, and we have to get professional help for them. But those that are just on minor things, like these young people are today, you know, we're responsible for telling them what's right. Whether they stand still or not, we still have to tell them. But you have to do it in a courtesy way. You have to do it in a way with love. You can't do it by talking about them to somebody else. And they're still over here waiting for the help. The signpost is out.
If we operated love and not just talked about love, if we operated
that's all by itself. Because love
is fire. We're trying to tell people about the love of God, and they just told you, Sister Ruby, I'm hungry, I ain't ate in 3 days.
Yes.
And you saying, well, wait a minute, let me quote this scripture. I can't do scripture. Woman, I need
you
a biscuit.
You can't do that. You got to
get
them a meal. That's right. Get them a meal.
We're trying to feed people spiritual food, and they starving to death because they had no food to eat. We ain't got a food we can give them. But in our kitchen every day, we're throwing away food. Our trash can full of food.
Because
we're selfish and self-centered, and we are neglectful of the things of God. And God is saying, love is the key. Love is the key. I want to revelate my love to you, because when God puts us on this fast track with his love, we'll run out there with a message, and we won't quit running until we run right on into glory. He also told me this, Pastor Chris and Sister Ruby. He said, the reason why my body is afraid of death is because they have not allowed me to revelate to them that there is no death in me. We've heard it said, but we haven't seen it happen. So it's a mystery to us. And God is saying, I have the ability to show you a picture of what's to come. But can you handle the truth? Can you handle what I'm going to show you? When Stephen was being stoned, he looked up and he saw Jesus. And although he was being stoned in his flesh, his spirit man knew right well where it was going. So he didn't have a hard time doing like Superman, saying up, and away. And what our hard time is coming from is that we talk a good game, and I'll say it again, but we're not living the life. Love never
Love your neighbor as yourself, but you can't do it if you don't love yourself.
Love never gives up. How many people are we sitting next to that have given up? Love never gives up.
Yeah.
Love never loses
quit.
Faith. Love is always hopeful. Love endures through every circumstance.
Yes.
Every circumstance. And we've had some hard things to get by in our lives. And I don't know about you two, but I've thrown up the white flag all 10 days on this life and said, I'm going to put my ministry on. I'm going back. and love constrained me because God loved me so much. He knew I was stupid to even think about going back to eat my vomit that I threw up on the ground. And God is saying, Corona is going to be a vehicle that I'm going to use to put love back into the people of God.
But isn't it amazing they seem to be picking up the spirit of fear more than love?
Yeah. Yeah.
We're picking up the spirit of fear rather than letting love work out the fear that's in them. They're leaning to where they used to be, afraid of everything, afraid to do anything. But love, like you say, it conquers all things. It conquers all things. It's patient. It doesn't look back on your wrong. It doesn't bring your past back up in your face. Love doesn't do those things. The flesh does those things.
Exactly.
But what love does is let you know that all that stuff is buried and hid in Christ. So for the person that don't know that, if I live it and they can see it in me, they'll come to understand it to be so.
Yeah.
Because we're the living epistle. We're what
they're
reading every day. That's
How many people they following us to church now? Nobody following us. You look behind you, there's nobody there. There's nobody there because we're not operating anymore. We're going through the motion.
Yeah.
Every week is religious. I go to church every week. I say amen every week. Where is my revelation? The people that are preaching to us have not been revelated to. And if you haven't received a revelation, how in the Sam Hill can you get one? You cannot. Because we're all walking around like clones. And we're not being cloned by the Spirit of God. We're being cloned by our preachers. And people say, you just like, you act just like your pastor. And he ain't acting like God. Pastor Chris, play me and Ruby a song, and we're gonna come back and we're gonna say we're gonna go to eight. But we're gonna play a song and call us whoever's out there. We're gonna get to you today because we want you to understand love, and we want to understand love as well. So Pastor Chris, give us a song. We'll come back.
You're listening to Saturday's Buffet with Sister Lorraine Brown and Roberta Jones right now. TPV Radio.
TPV Radio.
Oh,
Yo, what's good? It's your boy, Josiah Khalid. Listen, you're listening to the Summer's Voice Radio. Walk with me. Let's go.
You're listening to Saturday's Buffet with Sister Lorraine Brown and Roberta Jones right now. TPV Radio.
TPV Radio.
Welcome back, everyone. I love the song choice on today, Pastor Chris, where it says, be still. And God is saying he's our peace. And he's declared to us that we're not alone. And our heart should be crying out to God saying, help me to be still. That is a hard thing to do. It's like when a doctor gets ready to give you a shot, one of the instructions he'll give is be still. And it's kind of hard, especially when you have a phobia about shots. It's kind of difficult to be still when you know somebody's getting ready to hurt you. And I remember having to go to a doctor, a company doctor, one time in my life. I was having some challenges at work. I had gotten injured on my job, and they sent me to a company doctor. And that company doctor, he was representing the company that I was working for, and he was trying to find reason for me not to be compensated. So that was his purpose, and that was his mission. I got there, and he was doing some testing on me, and it was very painful. So I was literally crying, and I kept, you know, flinching and drawing up. And to me, are you refusing this test? And I said to him, I say, no, sir, I'm not. I say, but you will have to teach me, because I don't have the knowledge now of how to allow you to hurt me without me moving or responding to it. And that was a Holy Ghost answer, because, you know, as a person who's being hurt by that, I know it's just hurting me on purpose just to get me to say I'm not going further, leave me alone, I don't want no more. He wanted me to say I quit. And the Holy Ghost in me wouldn't allow me to quit. He just told me to tell the guy, teach me how to let you hurt me and I'll be still. And that guy he looked at me, he was an African man. He was from Africa, a matter of fact. And he said to me, you can go now. And I thank God for that. And that's what we're missing, Sister Ruby and Pastor Chris. We're missing giving God opportunity in these situations to speak through us. Because whenever God is allowed that opportunity, it changes the whole atmosphere of what you're going through. Even if it doesn't take away the adversity, it changes that atmosphere, and it takes you from a place of lose-lose, win-win. And I don't always adhere to God's voice. I don't always obey his instructions, because sometimes I'll be engaged in an argument or a discussion, and the Holy Ghost will say to me, he just did this the other day, and I failed. He'll say to me, don't say anything else. And I'll keep going. And every time I keep going, in the back of my mind, I'm saying to myself, Lorraine, please hear the Holy Ghost and shut your big mouth. But I'll keep talking, and I get nowhere. Then said a whole lot of words for a whole long time and don't get nowhere. But every time I obey his voice and shut my mouth, he speaks for me, and the words that he speaks changes the circumstances and the situation that I'm in. And God is saying, love would do that. Love is a change, is an agent that would change things in your life if you will allow love to lead. Let me read verse 8. It said, love will last forever. Love will last forever, but prophecy and speaking in an unknown language and special knowledge will all disappear. The stuff that we run it hard after is going to go away. But the thing that we want to ignore, God is saying that's going to last forever. I got my old pastor on the line. Pastor Jackson is on the line. Pastor Chris, if you can unmute 5717. Pastor Jackson, I was under Pastor Jackson for 17 years when I was in Michigan. Would love to hear my daddy in ministry speak about love. This is a man of God that I see operate in love. Me and him have had some, in the 17 years I was under him, 18 years I was under Pastor Jackson, we've had many good times. But there were times when I would fall out with him. Pastor Jack never fell out with me. I fell out with him. Pastor Jack, are you there? Pastor John Jackson, are you there?
Hello.
I remember one time I tried to be mad at Pastor Jackson, and Pastor Jackson say, "You guys want to go ahead and talk to me because I'm not going to be mad with you." And I just love that about you. Pastor Jackson, we're talking about love today. Sister Ruby is helping us out. You know, Sister Roberta's down at her daughter's wedding. And when Pastor Chris made me aware that you were on the line, I wanted to give you opportunity because I know you to be a man of love.
Praise God. Praise God. Y'all hear me?
I hear you, Pastor.
Yes, sir.
Praise God. We say good morning to the top of the morning to everyone. I thank God for the topic. Love is we say that it covers a multitude of sin. Love is one of the things that you just can't talk about enough because it's so, God has, when you use scriptures, it seems impossible to do, but when we use scriptures, it's right there. And when he said he's so loved, we can't love, we can love like that, but only when we can get there, we got to use the scripture because there's so many flesh moves. You got them three minds, three voices. You got the gods, you got Satan, and you got you. And most of us listening to, we do the talking the most time, and then Satan join us. And when he join us, he take out the part when with the soul love. Love the one despitefully used. Love the, see, we all supposed to get to the point that it's both maybe when we talked about, I talked about Sunday, the prodigal son. And I said, that I didn't talk about the son, I talked about the prodigal. Was the father showed his love. It made me want to go and grab my sons and love them, not look at what they did, what they do, what they said, because, see, the prodigal son did so much that to make him not to love his daddy, if you look at it in the way that he done it. But his daddy paid that no mind, if you pay attention to it. His daddy did not even look at what his son said, "Give me my potion, I want to go." He was basically saying, "I wish you were dead," because the Jewish always leaves the inheritance for his children. But he said, I won't mind. And he gave him his potion. His father honored and gave it to him. He went out, we know the story, what he did. But the thing, what I looked at, the maiden got touched me. The father didn't, when he saw his son, he ran and kissed him. And he was so, so thankful that his son had come home. He didn't use no "what you did," "I told you so." The Bible, the scripture don't say none of that. He just ran and kissed him. And if we would look, we have the same ability in us. If we would just act like men's women of God, love like he say, not make nothing happen, just do what he say. Because when he said, "I so loved the world, I give my son to you," in spite of all what we see, when you and me and we was coming up, I'm sure I said things to displease you, but we had a bond, we had a togetherness, you know, that we have to learn that we have to have that. We are men and women of God. We can't act like the world acts, you can, but we shouldn't. And this is the thing, love is a topic that you can talk about every day because we can use it, we can use it, we can use it. The best can use it. The strongest can use it because we have some errors would be great if when we look at it like God. God so loved the world, and we ought to love. If we put any percentage to our love, to our loved ones, friends, loved ones, people that we meet, our children, friends, we couldn't fail because it's powerful. If love too is powerful, and I can't. Me and Bobby sometime, she'll wake up and she'll sing a song. She'll say, that song, "Y'all, I just called to say I love you." You know, is the second son, and I sing it back to her. We say this, you know, sometimes she says this. And that make, you know, just that, that's a verse that makes you feel so good. Just to say, wake up and see you all are quiet and all the time. You just sing that, you know. Just say the word. Now, suppose he'll be saying, I hate you. And then she said, I mean it from the bottom of my heart. You know, that would feel that would feel too good. But love, right. The word love, that little word love, God, we love, we thank God for it, that he have given us the tool that we need. Everything we need, you have given to us. So I thank God for this topic. Thank God for you guys that's sharing, you know, your testimonies. And because if somebody can hear this and somebody is bitter, see, it ain't about bitterness. It ain't going to never change the word of God, no matter what a person do to you, what he say to you. If you can and skip that and allow love to operate, you win. You win.
Mm-hmm.
And don't hold grudges. It means something to love like God tell us to love. And it's a good thing. Ain't nothing wrong with it. God bless you. Thank you for giving me the opportunity. Amen.
Amen. We're going to go to verse 9 that says, now we know only a little, and even the gift of prophecy reveals little. But when the end comes, and the end is coming, these special gifts will all disappear. And you know what? I'm going to go ahead and finish this because I'm going to do my housework and we're going to prepare for our final thoughts. It says, it's like this. When I was a child, I spoke and thought and reasoned as a child does. But when I grew up, and that's what love does for us. Our age, being 72 years old or 80 years old, doesn't make us adults in the things of God, just make us adults in the natural. But this is being an adult. This is an adult thing. Taking on love is something that an adult would do. I put away childish things. I put away that love that would envy, that love that would keep record of. Now we see things imperfectly as in a poor mirror. But then we will see everything with perfect clarity once we take on love. Love clears the matter up. Love takes the fog out of it. All that I know now is partial and incomplete. But then I will know everything completely, just as God knows me now. There are three things that will endure. Three things that will endure. That will be faith, hope, and love. And out of those three things, the greatest of them is love. So we won't run out of time, Pastor Chris. We want to take our callers because we don't want our callers to call in and not be able to ask their questions or make their points. So could we go to our first caller, Pastor Chris?
Yes, ma'am. All right, callers, we will read the last four digits of your phone number. And if you're just listening, just say pass or just listening and we'll move on. First caller, 7991, 7991, you are on the air. God bless you.
I was just listening.
Thank you, Sister Jeanette.
You're welcome.
Amen. Thank you for listening. Next caller, 6015. 6015, you are live on the air. God bless you.
That's Sister Lucia. Go ahead, Pastor Chris. She has trouble with her phone.
Okay, no problem. Thanks for calling. Last caller, 6801. 6801, you are live on the air. God bless you.
God bless. I'm enjoying the show, and especially when you talk about the church losing its fire. Thank you for sharing that we cannot lose our fire in these last evil days. We got to let the Holy Amen. Ghost continue to have us. Amen, and be blessed.
Amen. God bless you. That's Sister Ruby's son, John Jr. Thank you, John Jr., for calling in. Just going to do my housekeeping before we get into wrapping it up. We want to acknowledge our three faithful listeners, starting with the youngest, going to the oldest. These are three sisters that live here in South Carolina. We want to acknowledge them and their lovely caretakers. We want to start today with Earthly Aaron and her two caretakers, her two lovely daughters, Edna Moore and Jeanette Pontoon. Also, we want to acknowledge Sister Dorothy Curry, her wonderful caretakers, Sister Shirley Allen and Sister Lucille Priester. Also, we want to acknowledge, last but certainly not least, the elders of these three biological sisters, Ella Priester and her two caretakers, Josie Lee Priester and Leola Talia, I think is her new name. She just not long ago got married. Those are her caretakers. And bringing this love thing to a close, I wanted to say that I struggle in this area, not because I don't want to love the way God designed me to love, but because there is an ongoing battle against it. Because of the power source that walking in love gives a person, a believer. When you begin to walk in love, you begin to not only have bullets for your gun, but your gun is loaded. And it's loaded and it's cocked and you're armed and dangerous against the kingdom of darkness. Because even hatred has to bow to love. And hatred is a powerful, powerful tool that the enemy uses. But even the spirit of hatred cannot dwell and combat love. Love can take a situation that is bloody and dangerous and you don't see any hope in it. And if you can find strength to give way for love in that situation, you can take what was meant to destroy you and you can build your life. How beautiful it is to be in the presence of someone who you know on this realm legally has the right to hate. Such things as murderous situation, and they've asked the relatives of the person that got murdered, how do you feel about this man who took your daughter's life? And to hear someone say genuinely, I forgive them. Think that's love. That's love. Especially when you're walking out of the courtroom where all the evidence have been presented. So you knew that this joker slashed your daughter's throat. You knew that he put a gun to her head. You know that he multiple times raped her before he killed your 5-year-old daughter, your 6-year-old son. And you can still walk away and say, I forgive them. And me, that's God. And the enemy is not going to allow you to have that kind of weaponry. And he don't come against it. So, yeah, I'm in a struggle right now. And some of you are in a struggle with your love walk as well. But I encourage you today to continue to seek the things of God, to continue to go to God and say, Lord, I need your help. And before we end today, we're going to pray for you to get that help. Sister Ruby, what are your closing thoughts when you think about love on today?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you now, honey.
My closing thought on love is this. The love of God is eternal. It never quits. There is no end to it. It always shows up before you need it, when you need it, when you don't need it. It's always standing there. Love is the most powerful and durable source of God that we can have. Because when you take love, you said, Lord, I accept you. And I want you to come into my life and I want you to guide it. No longer do I want myself to stand up and make any decisions that's going to cause harm or hurt to anyone else. Let love be your guide. No imperfections is in love.
Amen.
It's eternal.
Amen. So that means it lasts forever.
It lasts forever. There is no end.
Amen. Amen. And that's encouraging, Sister Ruby, because we have many, many obstacles that are thrown in our path against our
mm-hmm.
love walk. You know, because when the Lord first told me about walking in love, I didn't think very much about it how difficult it was going to be.
Mm-hmm.
But it is. And the difficulty mm-hmm. really is in the fact that we work against what's established already. You know, he mm-hmm. says to do it, and then we feel like he means for us to do everything, and he do nothing. But actually, he's saying, just submit to it. Just let me do mm-hmm. it in you. Let me let your mm-hmm. light shine. You don't have to make a light shine. Just let me
That's
turn
right.
this light on in you. And, you know, I read some material not long ago, and I'm going to get to you, Pastor Chris, for your final thoughts. And if Pastor Jackson is still available and he has any final thoughts, he's welcome to share as well. But I read mm-hmm. some material the other day that was talking about when God wants to exercise and grow love in us, he has placed his love in our hearts, meaning in our spirit. And this person described God's love as a painful injection. And mm-hmm. every time God wants to remind us that his love is there, he will allow it to ache. He will allow it to throb. And sometimes we mistaken that for something of ill will, something that's hurting me. We think that God can't be no part of that. But to be truthful about it, when we exercise God's love, we have to humble ourselves and submit to the pain that love is going to bring.
Yeah.
Now, that may be a wonderful, great outcome later on. But before you see all of that great outcome, there has been a struggle in that area of love. And I'm finding that, mm-hmm. just like when I told you I took them grandkids. Them grandkids, mm-hmm. they didn't belong to you. Them was my grandkids. But I still mm-hmm. had a struggle. I still had a struggle. And I had to say to God, Lord, I know that this trip is necessary. So help me not to lose my cool and to hurt my grandkids, but to continue to be able to minister to them so that one day they'll be standing at my gravesite saying, I remember the time
mm-hmm.
when my grandmother turned aside from going on vacations without me and took me.
Mm-hmm.
The one grandson that I had, he's 5 years old, he had never had salmon before.
Mm-hmm.
So what God showed me is that grandchild needed to be exposed to some other things because his parents had not exposed him to some things. And he said, we asked him, well, do you like salmon? He said, I don't know. We gave it to him, and he wanted to keep eating salmon. He wanted to have it the next day for breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
So just a small thing like that, we think, well, it was just salmon. In your eyes, it's just salmon because you get it when you get ready. But his five-year-old mm-hmm. who has never had it before and found out that he loved it, it was an open door of opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
And God said, I take the foolish things to confound the wise with it. I don't know where God's going to take that salmon to.
Mm-hmm.
But all I know is he gave me a job, and I had to be about my father's business, Sister Ruby.
Yes.
I didn't agree
May
with
I say this before you close
you
out?
You sure can. Go ahead.
I would like to say this also, especially to the body of Christ, to the church. The gifts that God gave us, they're perfect in their use for the body of Christ in this mm-hmm. world that's imperfect. But none of them excel or override love. Without mm-hmm. love, you wouldn't have had the gifts. The gifts is not for envy or strife. It's not there for you to have pride. The gift is for you to mature. And as you
mm-hmm.
mature in God's love and his ways and allow him to live through you, the
mm-hmm.
love that God wants the world to see, he said, look at me. See me face to face.
Yes.
And love me and let my love be seen through you. So don't get
mm-hmm.
hung up on the gift.
Mm-hmm.
But allow the fruit of the Spirit to come forth in you and
yes.
allow love to take its rightful place. That's what God wants. Let
Amen.
Me be seen in your face so when somebody else look at you, they'll desire me. That's
they
love.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. Pastor Jackson, you being a pastor and having people that follow you, you have to at least desire love because You cannot lead a flock apart from it. On your final thoughts and things that, what is the thing that you want to leave with God's people who are struggling with this thing? Some are having a real hard time loving those that despitefully misuse them. What would be your advice to me? What would you tell me about love, walking in love, that perhaps can give me a little strength to keep going forward?
Pastor Dale. Is I'm there?
Yeah, you here.
Well, I tell you, a preacher is the only thing a pastor, anyone is, this topic that we have dealings with today. If we don't act like and do what God said for us to do, we're going to have help. And especially when you're talking about love, when you know, because we, if somebody step on my toe, I ain't speak to you no more. But love would not allow you to do that. You could, the flesh would rise up, or somebody didn't call you and speak to you. Flesh would say, "Well, you ain't call me, I ain't calling you." But love comes in, and you can't be satisfied. This, when you, like you say, passing a church, when people, you preach to every message, you know, while you get saved, you get healed, you preach to yourself. You say, "Lord, help, I'm not going to get a message, because what I get, I'm trying to get something good for everybody. Well, I'm going to get something good, and I ain't going to get it for me. That's kind of, I ain't getting no message for you. I'm trying to get this for, if I got this message, I'm trying to get it for not only for you, but it's for me as well. So when I accept it, where I'm going wrong or where I'm lying flat, I'm asking God to help me, get this out of me, help me to get there, which is mean when the people that you preach to, and you see the things that they're going through, and yet still every Sunday they come back over and over and over. And I won't listen to nothing you saying to help them get to where they want to be. And you have to continue saying the same thing. You say, now the love of God give you the strength and the ability. Because you could say, shoot, forget this. And the thing you think of, you can't say that because, see, it's an end time. It's a time that you can quit Sunday, but then it's a payoff day. I can quit. I ain't going Sunday. I ain't going no more. But then I still got to stand before him one day, stand before him one day. So it helps me to help me to say, look, use the love factor that God give you. When this did spit on me, they slapped me. The priests even hit me in the face. And then they told me, they said, well, if you who you say prophesied, these people abuse them badly. And when a preacher, when a husband go through, when he say, I can't forgive, when we can look back of our father, what Jesus did for us, we can start looking in and say, I have to forgive him or her. I have to love them. Even you flesh don't want to never do it. It's the flesh ain't going to do it. You got to say, ask the Holy Spirit. As we listen to our listeners, when they're asking, when you're having this problem, it could be your family, it could be your children, be the husband or wife, it could be somebody that you know. But we have to say, we got to ask the Holy Spirit to help us get through this. The Holy Spirit helped us out of the streets. He helped us to quit our habits. The Holy Spirit helped us to get our life together. That's one that we need the Holy Spirit as well. This is a topic that we need the Holy Spirit to say, Lord, you say, I come to lead and guide and teach you. I need you to show me how to love like you want me to love, not like I fix it up. You know, that's what we, as Christians, it's some things, this topic that you're talking about today, we got to do this. It ain't no choice. I'm going to choose that. I don't like these beans. I'm not going to eat them. We got to eat this love. We have to eat love. We got to find a way to allow love to operate as our life, even matters what the pain was or been or lagging along, we got to find a way. And that's through
that's
Holy Spirit. God bless.
That's good. I like that. I like that. No matter what, we got to find a way to allow love to lead lives, because it's not even an option. God didn't say love if you want to. He said this is a must. Everything
a
you
must.
Do has to have love in it. Because if you do anything and love is not in it, then you did it without me.
Right.
So there's no good.
Amen.
That's going to come out of it. Pastor, before I lose time, I wrote down, I wanted to celebrate two of my grandchildren on today, Giante Mayo and Jaden Brown. They have birthdays tomorrow. I wanted to just celebrate and highlight my grandson and my granddaughter who have birthdays tomorrow. And I also wanted to celebrate the newlyweds. And I'm not gonna mess up the man of God's last name. I don't know how to pronounce his last name right. So I'm gonna say Coffee and Victoria. Sister Roberta's daughter became the bride of Brother Coffee on yesterday. We wanna celebrate their union. Welcome to the family, Brother Coffee, and welcome to marriage. Sister Victoria, my niece, and Pastor Jackson's niece as well, Sister Roberta's daughter, and Sister Ruby's niece. This is a family affair on the buffet today.
Amen.
Pastor Jackson, thank you for helping me today on the buffet. Thank you for serving the potatoes and the chicken. Sister Ruby, thank you from the bottom of my heart for coming on and passing out the Kool-Aid and ice cubes on today. On the buffet, Pastor, you're always there. You're always a good support to me. Anything that God gives us, Pastor Jackson and Sister Ruby, Pastor Chris, you all know that it's not a single man's mission. God always gives us a task that's geared towards the whole. We're in this together. This is the body of Christ.
That's right.
When I win, the body of Christ is winning. When you win, the body of Christ is winning. And so I thank God that you two stepped up for me on today. I thank you, and thank you from the bottom of my heart. Pastor Chris, you have the floor, and when you finish, you can take us out with a song. Give us your, what do you want, your last words on love, Pastor Chris.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you to Pastor Jackson for coming on the buffet today. Also to Sister Ruby, thank you so very much. This is a very loaded subject. And if we don't choose to love now, when will we ever love? I'm going to leave that out there, because we have to understand, as believers, as children of God, we have to be selfless. It's a journey. Things in life will happen. We will be tested beyond our human ability. I don't think you caught that. We will be tested by our human ability. But if you have relationship, here we go again with the word, if you have relationship with God, I guarantee you, love will trump how you feel. Love will trump how your flesh activates and acts silly. Love will trump all. But see, the problem is you have to be in a position to allow love to lead your life. The three top things of who we are as believers and makes us stronger as believers is our faith, our hope, and our love. Got a question, and we got to go. When will you love for real? When will he be yours? That's the question. We'll see you next week. Saturday's Buffet, same time, same channel, and we going to go out with the most perfect song, I'm Yours by KCJ. God bless you. We'll see you next week.
So your song flows through my lips. Your work moves through my head. Your thoughts stay on my mind, living me. Your song flows through my lips. Your work moves through my head. Your thoughts stay on my mind, living me. And you can have all of me. Have all of me. Have all of me. 'Cause I'm yours. And I give you all of me. Give you all of me. God, here's all of me. I'm yours. God, I'm yours.
Central Texas.